Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, we would love to hear from you, Bob and Richard and I. And if you would get to the phone right now and give us a call, we would really, really love to address your question or your particular issue. 844-322-2742 is the number to call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to be talking about a very important subject this week and touching on it for the rest of this month. It's the biblical path to peace. We've been talking about emotions and how we get into emotional situations, how we, circumstances come our way and how we respond to those things. Well, we're really going to break that down and look at the detail of that, actually how we move down that path toward depression. And there's many stops along the way, but there's also an opportunity to break out at any time along that path.
Yes.
And so we've created a wonderful little pamphlet that we want to put in your hands. It's a free gift. It's called The Biblical Path to Peace. And we're going to be working through that this particular week. And I think it's really going to be helpful, but we want to put this into your hands. If you would like to order it, you can do so by calling right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. And like I said, this is something that we're going to be reviewing the rest of this week and for much of this, the rest of this month. So order your copy of that as quickly as possible. Now, where we're going to begin today is in John chapter 16, verse 33. So the last verse of that particular chapter. And Jesus said this, "I have said these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So what is Jesus's promise in this particular verse? Well, it is peace. He wants us to experience peace. Now, if we think with worldly thinking and we lean into the world's understanding or try to take from the world's wisdom, we're not going to experience peace. That's going to move us down the path toward fear, anger, anxiety, self-pity, depression. And if we continue down that path, ultimately, despair. So Jesus has a better promise for us, and that promise is peace. Well, let's talk about how we're going to get to that peace. Well, life comes at us, doesn't it, Richard?
It sure does.
As Jesus said, in this world we're going to have tribulation. We're going to experience trials and adverse circumstances of all kind. And even some positive circumstances can put us down a negative path as far as our emotions are concerned. So we have to realize, it could be good, could be bad, but life throws itself at us. And how we respond, how we react to that is determined by our worldview, our thinking patterns.
Yes.
So all of us are really good at thinking with worldly thinking, and we divide that into two categories, unrealistic expectations and misplaced dependency.
Yeah.
So unrealistic expectations would be things like everyone will like me. Now, we know that that's not true, but somehow our pride, our ego, things that people have told us along the way have brought us to this point that we believe everybody's going to like us. Well, what's going to happen when that first person rejects us? Well, it's going to cause all sorts of disappointment. We're going to be fearful. Oh, no, everybody's going to reject me. Nobody's going to like me. And then how will I be happy? And so that cycles through for a while. And we put up control mechanisms. Well, what can I do to make people really like me? What can I do to flip the switch in their thinking so that they'll look at me and say, wow, you're somebody special. You're some kind of wonderful type of guy. How can I do that? So we try to change the circumstances. We try to change others. We try to change those things out there. And those things don't change. They don't change. Well, they continue to reject. That builds more fear, and pretty soon we're mad. We're mad at the world. And then in that anger, we go down into self-pity. And self-pity is a place where we're very vulnerable to the temptations of the world. It's a place where we start saying things, well, I deserve a little pleasure right now. And boy, if I could just buy a new outfit, boy, would I feel better. If I could just buy a new driver for my golf club set, well, boy, would I feel much better about myself.
But it would be true if I could buy a new pickup. I would.
That's right, yeah. A new pickup or a new sailboat. And we get vulnerable, and we don't have the money to buy those things.
No.
So we pull out the plastic, and off we go. Mm-hmm. And we get ourselves in debt, and that just brings about more self-pity. In that seedbed of self-pity, we're vulnerable to temptations. When sexual temptations knock at the door, we're more vulnerable, we're weak, and it's easy to give into those things when we're in that seedbed of self-pity. Money temptations, all of those things will start tugging very strongly on us in self-pity.
Yes.
So we have to guard against that. And when we give in to those temptations, guess what happens? Self-pity intensifies inside of us. And then we go into depression. That's how this works. But it starts with our thinking. So our unrealistic expectations, everyone will like me, I can be secure in this world. We may have misplaced dependencies. I'm in control. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
We think we're in control. We're not in control. Boy, we're not in control at all. Just look at some of the circumstances that you've been in. And how did you get there? Well, it was things outside of your control that landed you right in that spot.
Yeah.
So you're not in control. That's just a total misplaced dependence. Money, all sorts of things can make me happy. My wife or my husband can make me happy. Well, now you have a misplaced dependence on that person to do for you what only Christ can do for you. So those are the thinking patterns. And if we're eventually going to break out and to have a steady mind through thick and thin, we need to change our thinking patterns. We need to go from worldly perspective to godly perspective. And once we shift over to godly perspective, when those trials and tribulations come our way, instead of reacting with an attitude of fear and allowing fear to control and motivate at that point, we can respond with an attitude of faith, knowing that God is in control, that God causes all things to work together for good. And with that as the foundation stones of faith, we can say thank you. And when we say thank you, what's going to happen, the peace of God that passes understanding is going to flood our souls. That's the way this works.
Yeah.
So we want to put this chart, we want to put this brochure in your hands. It's available just by calling our toll-free number.
Absolutely, and you can call that number right now. If you've just joined us, a reminder that if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 p.m. hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and Bob, Richard, and I would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. As Bob was saying, there is a practical path to peace in our lives, but until someone points it out to us that so many times our thinking patterns actually dictate our emotions and that our emotions can literally ruin our day and worse, well, we don't know how to break free, to break out and live abundantly despite those circumstances. We'd like you to have a copy of this new practical tool that Bob was talking about. It's called The Biblical Path to Peace. It contains a fold-out chart, as Bob was saying, to graphically detail and illustrate the ingredients that can lead to emotional distress and depression, and to contrast them with the truth of God's Word, which is the answer to the circumstances and issues that oftentimes trouble our lives. To request your free copy, all you have to do is call 844-322-2742. Again, it's called The Biblical Path to Peace. And again, the number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to our friend Ryan from Lacombe, Alberta, Canada. And I think Ryan will understand this pathway to depression, all the things that he's experienced, and also knowing how to break out of that by believing truth, believing that his sins have been forgiven, that Christ is alive, living in him, and giving thanks in all things because of those truths. Ryan, welcome to Basic Gospel. It's so nice to hear from you today.
Yeah, it's great. I feel like you guys gave me a perfect entry to what I was about to talk about. I wanted to just, a few of the listeners, and I know you guys remember a call that I had about, well, maybe a little less than a year ago, where I talked about a story where, you know, I was really struggling with my insurance, and I ended up basically in the arms crying, a grown man crying in the arms of his four-year-old daughter, as his four-year-old daughter basically beat him to the conversation of, Daddy's sick and he may not get better and he might die. And she was the one comforting me with the gospel, saying, Daddy, I know you're sick. I know you'll die. You know, you may die, but you'll be with Jesus in heaven. And I just lost it from that point. And I had an experience that I wanted to kind of follow up on, that, as I know that that was a powerful experience to a lot of the listeners. I'm trying to keep it together. My father came to visit me over the week, last week, and he, you know, knows that this may very well, according to doctors, be the last time that he sees me. So our goodbye was very difficult on him. And I witnessed my father crying in my arms and me comforting my father in the same way that my child comforted the parent. I was the one with my dad crying in my arms, and I was able to learn more about him and about his hesitations about Jesus, to the point that he is coming to Christ, and he is, I couldn't make this stuff up. Like, he is now believing, because he thought, as I had thought, that somewhere down the line I must have blown it somewhere with Jesus, and he wouldn't want anything to do with me. So all of the words that you guys have shared, that, you know, the Spirit has taught me, and everything, was able to not only give peace to a father and a daughter, but also to a father, my father, and a son, spoken through the children to the parents. And he left with peace and a lot of follow-up questions. And I'm happy to say that I truly see him coming to the Lord, which I could have never imagined before. And one other quick add-on. My daughter, who's four, by the way, she's almost five, she kind of had the connection again that, you know, what happens when Daddy dies. You know, we didn't want to get into the intermediate heaven or anything too philosophical with her. But my wife actually handled it beautifully, and she said that Daddy's not going to have his tumor anymore, and he's going to be happy, and he's not going to be sick anymore. And she was so excited about that it brought my wife to tears. It brings me to tears even talking about it. She was like, well, what are we all doing? Let's go. You
know? Well, Ryan,
she was like, wow, that sounds a lot better than what's going on right now. Like, let's go. Come on.
Yeah,
and then we had to almost calm her, like, back her off. Like, okay, like, you know, like, let's let God do his thing in his timing. But it was just so amazing that I just wanted to share this story about how your ministry has touched three generations of people who are stuck in some horrible circumstances. And yet, through God's grace and through the basic gospel ministry, we've all been able to band together and keep our eyes on Christ and not on our situation, and we've all grown immensely. So I just, my prayer is that if you're hearing this and you're able to give, unfortunately, I'm not in a position to support the ministry financially. I can only open my heart in hopes that you could open your wallet in continuing this ministry, seeing the fruit that it's bearing in real people, in real time, in real life, and seeing the eternal changes that we can all experience through Jesus and through being pointed to him by ministries like this. And I'm just so grateful for each and every person that supports the ministry in any way they can, and I will keep praying for all of you. I wanted to share that with you.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much. And you know, this truth, it first anchors our heart to the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And it gives us some certainty, some assurance, and that's what you've experienced over this last year, but it doesn't stop there. That truth starts working its way out of your life into the lives of others. That's what's happened in your family with your wife or daughter. Yep. And now with your dad, and what an amazing story that is. And, you know, we're all the same as far as our understanding of God, what we think about God, what we think God thinks about us.
Yes.
And most of us come down on the side of he's mad, he's disgusted, we're beyond his reach, there's no way that we can be saved, we've just gone too far. And yet the truth of the gospel says no, God's grace is bigger than all of our sin, and God's grace can draw us near. And that's what you experienced in your life. And as you've stayed connected to the radio broadcast and read materials and listened to different CD series, that truth is gone deeper in your life, and people are taking notice of that. And that's what this ministry is all about. And we certainly are so grateful that God enabled our paths to cross with yours, Ryan, so that we could get to know you, so that we could be a voice of hope and help into your life. And thank you for being a voice and a help into the lives of those around you. And God bless you for calling today. We certainly appreciate it. And I know our listeners are deeply moved by your story. And I hope our listeners will hear what Ryan was saying, the fact that he was opening his heart so that others might open their checkbooks to give and to help support other stories exactly like Ryan's and enable those stories to happen. So I hope our listeners will be encouraged, Ryan. I know they will, and that many will take action and make a contribution so that others can know the truth of Jesus Christ, just as you have.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. And like I said, you've touched three generations of a family that I could have never imagined this happening at all. And it's God works in mysterious ways. And I just thank you for the work that you do on his behalf.
Well, thank you, Ryan. And yes, we're continuing to pray for you and with you, and look forward to hearing from you again real soon, okay?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, thanks, Ryan.
I do believe that if God sees fit to bring Ryan home through this particular issue that he is facing, that we will look back on this testimony, and it will have even greater significance.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Certainly will.
844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you. We have calls on the board, but still some time on the clock. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Savannah, Georgia, and talk to Ken. Hi, Ken. Welcome to Basic Gospel today.
Hello, Bob and Richard.
Hey, hello.
I'm not sure who's there today. My question has to do with the book of James. I struggle with this book often because it seems very works-oriented. But my particular question is about James 4:8, about drawing near to God, and he'll draw near to you, and cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts. is that speaking to a Christian or what? Help me understand that verse. Cause
well, I don't think the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, is ever going to address a child of God, a believer in Christ, as a sinner. We were sinners. We were saved by grace. Now we're saints. So we have a brand new identity in Christ. So when Paul was addressing the negative behavior of the Corinthians, he still called them saints. I mean, you're
correct.
Just all over the map. You're way off the path of righteousness, but you're off that path as a child of God, as a saint. So I think when James uses the word sinner here, he's speaking to sinners, to those who are lost, who were dead spiritually. And so the encouragement is to draw near, and the gospel message enables them to draw near. And the only way that you can do that is through humility. You cannot draw near to God through a proud heart. So I think that's why he puts in there, you know, humble yourselves before the Lord. He will exalt you, that God gives grace to the humble and not the proud.
Yeah, if you look at the very beginning of the chapter, what he's describing there is exactly what Bob was talking about at the beginning of today's broadcast. What causes quarrels and fights among you? It's your passions at war within you. You desire and you don't have, so you murder. I mean, that is the thinking of the world. That is not the thinking of a child of God. Not that a child of God can't occasionally have worldly thoughts, but as an overall pattern, it's a very different thing, and he is dealing with those people and saying, it's time to make your relationship with Jesus real.
Yes.
Don't just claim special status because you're Jewish. It's not about Jew and Gentile anymore. It's about children of God, the one new human instead of what used to be.
Yeah, and I think it fits back into James chapter 2, where James is saying, You have faith and that sort of thing, but I'm going to show you my faith through my works, that this has been a real transformation. So what he was saying there is there's a lot of people that are simply giving lip service to their salvation.
Yeah.
They're not really saved, but they're professing to be saved. They've said something with their mouth, but they haven't believed anything with their heart. So true faith hasn't hit yet, and I think this is really just a continuation of that of that discussion, that argument that he was giving. So, and what's the solution? Draw near to God in all humility.
Right.
God
okay.
opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, draw near to God, and you will receive all that he has for you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. It might be helpful for you if you read James as if it were Proverbs within the New Covenant, because that's kind of how it's organized. There are these statements all over the place, but you put it in the New Covenant context, and you get incredible blessing out of it.
That's, yes, indeed.
That's a good way to look at it. I hadn't thought of that or heard that before. So do I have time for one more question?
Well, not today. We're almost out of time, so
okay.
We're up against right. that clock. But we sure appreciate your call. Call tomorrow. We'd
yes.
love to hear,
yep.
love to hear from
do.
You tomorrow.
You bet. We love hearing from our listeners.
Yes,
that
indeed.
Number 844-322-2742. Keep it handy. Well, friends, as you well know, life comes at us. Adverse circumstances of every kind jump up, spring up, and bring disappointment. How you respond to those circumstances will either set you on a downward spiral toward depression and despair or on a path of freedom and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all begins in the mind. At Basic Gospel, we've produced a new practical tool called the Biblical Path to Peace, and in it you'll find a chart to help you recognize worldly thinking, things like misplaced dependencies and unrealistic expectations, things that are detrimental to your emotional well-being, and show you how to replace worldly thinking with truth through faith in Jesus Christ and through a grateful heart. Ask for your free copy today, right now if you can, by calling 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 for your free copy of this wonderful new tool, The Biblical Path to Peace. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Remember, we're streaming live video every day to Facebook and YouTube. We'd love for you to take advantage of that that new venue. But thanks for being with us. For Bob and Richard, the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.